A new letter that J.R.R. Tolkien wrote has emerged, and it contains the answer to a 70-year-old mystery. Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into The Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. One of the more abiding, if minor, mysteries in The Lord of the Rings is what Sam's cousin Hal saw beyond the North Moors of the Shire. The context here is that Sam is in the Green Dragon in Bywater, drinking and chatting away with Ted Sandyman and some others early on in the story. There have been rumours of strange things happening in the world outside the Shire, and strange creatures around its boundaries. Tolkien tells us in the introduction to The Lord of the Rings that the number of bounders, a hobbit border patrol, had greatly increased recently because of this. The Shire was cut off from the rest of the world, but there is clearly a sense of uneasiness among some, while others simply mock such concerns. Ted Sandyman, for one. Ted laughs at the very idea of dragons, but then Sam pipes up. "All right," said Sam, laughing with the rest, "but what about these tree men, these giants, as you might call them? They do say that one bigger than a tree was seen up away beyond the North Moors not long back." "Who's they?" "My cousin Hal, for one. He works for Mr. Boffin at Overhill and goes up to the North Farthing for the hunting. He saw one." "Says he did, perhaps. Your Hal's always saying he's seen things, and maybe he sees things that ain't there." "But this one was as big as an elm tree, and walking 7 yards to a stride if it was an inch." "Then I bet it wasn't an inch. What he saw was an elm tree, as like as not." "But this one was walking, I tell you, and there ain't no elm tree on the North Moors." "Then Hal can't have seen one," said Ted. There was some laughing and clapping. The audience seemed to think that Ted had scored a point. It's a scene-setting moment. We get to learn a bit about Sam and Ted Sandyman, and also the growing darkness around the edges of the Shire. And of course, when we get to meet Treebeard and the rest of the Ents later in the story, the idea of a walking tree makes a whole lot more sense. And Hal's was clearly not an isolated sighting. Sam introduced the topic by saying, "What about these tree men, these giants?" Clearly others had reported sightings. Leading to the lingering idea among some that perhaps, just perhaps, this is where the Entwives had been all that time. Treebeard and the Ents longing for the Entwives is one of the most touching and sad moments in the books. They went away amicably many years ago, and the Ents went to visit them from time to time, but then one time the Entwives weren't there. We read, "Long we called, and long we searched, and we asked all folk that we met which way the Entwives had gone. Some said they had never seen them, and some said that they had seen them walking away west, and some said east, and others south, but nowhere that we went could we find them. Our sorrow was very great. Yet the wild wood called, and we returned to it. For many years we used to go out every now and again and look for the Entwives, walking far and wide and calling them by their beautiful names. But as time passed, we went more seldom and wandered less far. And now the Entwives are only a memory for us, and our beards are long and grey." The Entwives are gone. I did a whole other video on that if you are interested. I think it's a wholly underrated part of understanding the world Tolkien is presenting to us. Anyway, Treebeard still longs for the Entwives, and seemingly not knowing about the Shire, quizzed Merry and Pippin on it, and whether they might have seen the Entwives there. We read that he made them describe the Shire and its country over and over again. He said an odd thing at this point. "You never see any Ents round there, do you?" he asked. "Well, not Ents. Entwives, I should really say." "Entwives," said Pippin. "Are they like you at all?" "Yes. Well, no. I do not really know now," said Treebeard thoughtfully. "But they would like your country, so I just wondered." You can see why some people wondered with Treebeard whether the Entwives might have been there. particularly as we have a sighting of a very Ent-like creature just outside the Shire. But now we have an answer to that. A new letter has emerged that, at the time of writing this, will soon go up for auction. It is from J.R.R. Tolkien to a Miss Jenny Hall in February 1966. We don't know the letter that she sent him, but his reply suggests she asked about whether there was any Welsh inspiration for the places and place names in Middle-earth, and who or what it was that Hal saw. It's a short letter, so I'll read it all. Dear Jenny, thank you very much for your nice letter. I have been in most parts of Wales, but the place names I use are made up from English models or borrowed from books, although Crick Hollow was actually meant to resemble Crick Howell. The Walking Elms were meant to be Ents, but not Ent wives. Gandalf had asked one or two of them to keep a watch on the Shire, but he did not tell anybody about it. With best wishes, yours sincerely, J.R.R. Tolkien. In case you are wondering, Crick Howell is indeed a small town in Wales. But here we finally have confirmation. The Walking Elms are Ents. The clue is in the fact that they were elms, a type of tree not found on the North Downs. But crucially, these are not Ent wives, and they were there at the express request of Gandalf. Which is intriguing, because, as we've seen, Treebeard makes a great show of not knowing about the Shire, or even knowing what hobbits are. So what was going on there? Perhaps Gandalf just spoke to those particular Ents and not Treebeard, but Tolkien seems to confirm that Treebeard did know and was aware of this apparent contradiction. He therefore added a little postscript to that letter. It reads like this. As can be gathered from Treebeard's conversations with Merry and Pippin, he knew a lot more about events than they guessed, and more about hobbits than he pretended to. So Treebeard was just pretending not to know about hobbits or the Shire, which should change our reading of those scenes a little bit. His reticence to tell the hobbits everything he knew can probably be put down to his desire not to be hasty in trusting them, and not knowing for certain whose side they were on. Ents value their freedom, and Treebeard famously stated that he wasn't altogether on anybody's side because nobody was altogether on his side. But I think we now have to temper that a little bit with the recognition that Treebeard did pick a side. He led the trees against Isengard, guarded Saruman when asked by Gandalf, and also, we now learn, sent a couple of Ents off far to the west to keep a watch on the Shire. Or perhaps Treebeard didn't send them so much as know that they'd gone. If Treebeard wondered if the Entwives had gone west, those Ents might have wondered the same. Gandalf would presumably have described the Shire and the North Downs, and they would have presumably thought, as Treebeard did, that that sounded like the kind of place the Entwives might like. And when they didn't return, perhaps Treebeard started to wonder if they'd found those elusive Entwives. Hence his questioning of Merry and Pippin. Or perhaps we're just reading into it a little bit too much. There are plenty of matters of detail about Middle-earth that Tolkien changed his mind on over time. Perhaps this is one of them. In any event, this changes the dynamic of Merry and Pippin's interactions with Treebeard. They aren't the mystery to him that he makes out. And, lest we forget, in the books he knew quite a lot of what Saruman was up to already. Merry and Pippin seem to just give him the push he needed to get the Ents organised to go to war. Actually, when you reread that section, Treebeard seems to know a whole lot more than you might expect of a tree staying in his forest. What happened with Saruman and the White Council, for example? Maybe Gandalf had visited Fangorn a few more times than we think. Treebeard certainly seems to know him pretty well, opining on whether Merry and Pippin were doing as Gandalf would want. So Treebeard is playing a clever game here, keeping his own counsel and learning about what is going on beyond his own borders, while pretending to understand a whole lot less than he actually does. I also wonder whether him placing Merry and Pippin to keep a watch over the Ents' handiwork at Isengard, where they found that Longbottom leaf, is a deliberate nod to the couple of Ents who had been keeping a watch over the hobbits in the Shire, an amusing echo by Treebeard or Tolkien himself. But most of all, what we find here is a vindication, after all these years, for Sam's cousin Hal. We always suspected he was right, But now we know. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.